I greet you in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here again this morning. And I just want to welcome everyone here. This morning, I'd like to preach on a subject that's been on my heart for some time, not necessarily all the thoughts that I have here, that I've been thinking all of them necessarily, but just a burden. I do have a burden for the home. For our homes and where we find ourselves in our homes and probably especially for us as fathers, just really desire to communicate just a word of encouragement to us as fathers this morning, especially. But we'll be looking at some of the other aspects of that as well, but just really that's where my burden comes from, I guess, is a burden for us as fathers. The title for my message this morning is God's Plan for a Godly Home. God's Plan for a Godly Home. For those of you that are familiar with construction, normally you do better with a plan, right? You do a little bit better with a plan, and God also has a plan for us, and we do better if we follow His plan for a home. A subtitle to that could be a home where God delights to dwell in, and would be something that would also reflect some of that vision, some of that burden. We want to have our homes be a place where God dwells, not just where we have fun together, not just where we have a nice time together, but where God dwells is also where how we want our homes to be. when I used to do construction work with my dad, I got involved a lot with the blueprints, or it would help. Sketch up the blueprints and so forth. And we would try to sketch the house or the building the way the owners wanted them to build. And we would try to get their, they would describe what they have in mind, and we would be there trying to either take some measurements, write some measurements down, and maybe come up with a sketch and try to understand what the owner wanted to build. And God is our owner. God is the owner of the home. God is the owner, and God has a plan. And we do best if we try to understand. And yes, maybe we have to sometimes sketch it out. We have to, just like we did with the construction, we would draw it out the way we understood the owner to describe it to be, and so forth. And then we would say, "Is this what you're looking for? Is this what you wanted? Is this what you said you wanted the garage over here, and you wanted the master bedroom over here? Is that what you had in mind?" And no, we needed to have it moved over a little bit this way or whatever, but we talk to the owner. We communicate with the owner. And this is just a little bit of a introduction to my message. These are not the main points, but just think about that in light of the home. You know, sometimes we have our picture of how the home ought to function and how the home ought to be. But let's go back to the owner and ask, you know, what are... Is this what you had in mind, God? You know, is this what you have, what you wanted for the home? young people, this is very important for you. These things, and not necessarily just what I'm saying, but the subject of the home is very important. It's foundational for you as you think of the future, even though you might only be 18, even though you might be younger. Those things are foundational. if we just think about the home, God is the owner. If we didn't follow the blueprint or the plan, the owner was disappointed and the crew became confused and frustrated. That's true as well in the home. If you don't follow the blueprint that God has, the plan that God has for us in the home, God becomes disappointed. The crew, which is maybe us as fathers, mothers, and others in the picture, I don't know, becomes frustrated and confused. And in the end, it's not what we want. In the end, it's not what the owner wants. Again, this is just an introduction to it. So think of this plan. Think of this plan for the home. Now, I know I'm actually just going to draw a little, maybe a little plan, a little sketch, just to have your minds thinking a little bit. Maybe you have it something like this. I'm just going to be very basic. This is actually a little bit like our house is, a little bit like it. Actually, it's not exactly. I'll just leave it with that. Different rooms. This here doesn't fit quite right, but there we go. You have different doors, different places, but you have your plan. You have your, God has a plan for the home. He wants to make it, he wants us to have a godly home. What makes a godly home? We can have a building. That's one thing I want to just point out at the beginning. We can have, this morning I'm not talking about just our house. Our house on Old Nashville Highway. I'm not talking about that home. I'm talking about our home and what makes our home. You know, some people talk, or there's a phrase that says that the home is where the heart is. In looking at God's Word and the subject of the home, I'd like to think of it specifically as mom and dad, and children, and the relationship and how we relate, and then God in that whole picture. Yes, we live in buildings, we live in a structure, in that type of a building and so forth, but a home, I believe that God desires is a home where there is love, where there is joy, where there is peace, where the fruits of the Spirit are flowing freely. A home like that. That's what God desires to have. And I'm not sharing this morning either as though I have attained or just that I have it all, understand it all. These are still my aspirations, if you would. These are still my desires. These are still my goals. In reading and meditating a little bit down the line of this message, I read a little bit in Brother Danny Kennison's book, A Godly Home. Nothing, I didn't read a whole lot, just a little bit here and there. And I don't. So in some ways, it's a bit of a scary thing to talk about the home. Because I look at Denny's life, and I don't mean that as a negative reflection. I know he had an excellent heart. I looked at his book. I looked at his, right at the time when he was writing the book, it seemed like things were going very well. But unfortunately today, the fruits or the, some of the next generation, some of those things are not so clear. But I do think a lot of what Denny taught is good. Just because his family turned out the way they did, I don't think that we should just throw away everything that he taught. But it does cause me to tremble. I'm kind of in that same stage with my family. what does 20 years from now look like? I have nothing to boast this morning, and I don't have time to lay my armor down. And I just would like to encourage us as fathers. Are we connecting with the owner? I guess is the burden of my heart. As fathers, are we connecting with the owner and understanding the plan, what God's plan is for us as fathers? And are we doing what we can to connect with God in that way to make sure that we know how God wants us to build his home, build the homes, and so forth? I also believe that a godly home, there should be good, healthy relationships. And that's all the relationships, relationship between husband and wife. It should be good. And it should be good between parents and children. Our relationships should be good. And when I mean good, I'm meaning that we can talk to each other. We can communicate. It doesn't mean that we never have any strained moments. It doesn't mean that we never have times where we struggle. It doesn't mean that, but that is the general place that we find ourselves, that we can talk and that we can communicate. God desires that for peace to be in the home. One question I'd have is, who put together the first home? Who put it together? God did. Yeah. Who it was is, it was God. It was God that put the first home together. And so God is the author of the home. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a right thing. It's an honorable thing. It's where God desires to dwell, is in a home where there's good relationships in the home. And I share this a little bit, like I mentioned, with a little bit of trepidation, because even this morning there was a little bit of communication going on in our home. And I was like, of all mornings when I wanted to talk about the home, I felt a little bit strained communications. But those things are real. It's still what God wants. It's still what God wants. It's still what God wants. And we need to endeavor. So, God's plan. Remember, it's God's plan. It's not my plan. It's not Stephen's plan for my home even. It's God's plan for a godly home. God has a plan. First of all, he has a plan. And let's understand what his plan is. A home, according to the Webster's 1828 dictionary, a home is a dwelling house, the house or place of in which one resides. He was not at home. And also in John 20 talks about the disciples went away again to their own home. Home is the sacred refuge of our life. That's according to the Webster's dictionary, which I know they would be more looking at the house, maybe the structure and so forth, that part of it. I would be thinking that may be combined with the spiritual, the aspect of the home. And hopefully that'll be more clear as we go on here. So point number one I'd like to make here is, I basically have just a few points here I'd like to, I'll try to keep it simple. But some mainly separated into three different main points that I'd like to focus on. And the first point I'd like to make is God. Point number one is God is the foundation. So God is the foundation of the home, or of a godly home. God is the foundation. That doesn't mean that God is the foundation of every home. But for a godly home to exist, God needs to be the foundation. God needs to be the footer, the foundation, the floor where we build on. God is the source of the fruits of the Spirit. That's where those fruits come from. Love, joy, peace, and all those things that we desire to have in the home. God is the source of those things. We desire to have that relationship with each other. Where do we need to go? We need to go to God. We need to have that. That's where it's a little bit different than just building like a church house here or like a house that we build to live in. Otherwise, it seems like we have to, maybe it's more from the aspect that we have to continue to be connected to the foundation. I'm not quite sure, but we have to strengthen those foundations sometimes. So we need to somehow shore those things up. In our spiritual life, we need to continue to make that communication and connection with God, in other words. We can't just simply do that one time and forget about it like I can a little bit more with my physical building that I built. I can build it and kind of forget about the foundation and assume it's taking care of me. We need to, I think, remind ourselves. That's where it's a little bit different. Spiritually, we need to remind ourselves that God is the foundation. God is, our life needs to be built upon God. And the home needs to be built on God. And if we're struggling with love issues, we're struggling with relationship issues in the home, our help is in God. Our help is perhaps on our knees, alone with God. Our help is perhaps on our knees together. But it's God that's the foundation. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? Yeah. Still on this part about God being a foundation, God being our foundation, we need to follow the teachings, Christ's teachings and his example. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And I believe that that's something that we need to experience in our, some of these things we need to experience ourselves as fathers, but then there's also some of these things that we need to convey to our children. We need to teach them that also that these things are important. Another point in light of this foundation is that we, just a very practical thing that I think we should do as fathers is read the Bible together. It's just a very practical thing. I know you mentioned Nehemiah this morning that you're just going to do it a little bit like you do it for family devotions. It's so, so important. Read your Bible together as a family. Make some time for that. Do that on purpose. God, and the reason for it is it helps to lay that foundation in our home and so forth. Now, I know we can just go through the motions, so to speak, and just read the Bible and shut it and go on with life. But as much as we can, have our children be interacting with us as we read and so forth, and different children are at different levels and so on. But God is the foundation, and so therefore it's important for us to read His Word together. Also, it's important for us to teach, and this goes right along with that, it's important for us to teach our children. And just want to encourage us all as fathers, let's teach our children. Let's take that responsibility of teaching. Let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I know this is Old Testament, but I think it's still true for us today. Maybe in a little different sense, but so this is in the context of Moses was exhorting the children of Israel to hear God and to keep His commandments and so forth. I'm just going to jump in there in verse 3, I believe. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And we'll stop there. God is wanting us as fathers to teach and to teach and to teach our children. And so that's one thing that we, one thing that helps us to lay that foundation. You know, it's one thing for us to, it's one practical way that we can help our children understand who God is. It's one way that we can help our children understand what God expects of them and what God wants them to do. And I just think it's a very good practical way that it's written here. At least I feel like it makes sense when he says, "Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." In other words, you come home from your work day and you're sitting there and you're kind of unwinding for the day, but you teach those things that God has spoken in His Word, and maybe even just like yesterday, we were working with some others and other volunteers, maybe there's some examples that you can take from some of those situations. But this is how we need to respond in this situation, you know. And you take your children to a proper response from God's Word or from the principles in God's Word. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, in other words, when you're working together, you walk by the way, you're walking together, working together. When thou liest down, just before you go to bed, that's a good time to speak another word for the Lord. Speak another word, teach your children, you know, to connect with God. Teach your children to do that. I think it's important. These are little important things that help us to build that foundation there. And when thou rises up, first thing in the morning, good to have a little. In other words, just what I get is Moses is saying here, and God is telling us, I think, every opportunity that you've got, teach and teach and teach. And there's another scripture that says line upon line, precept upon precept. You lay that foundation. The house doesn't get done in one day. The house doesn't get done in one day. I just want to encourage you, keep doing it. Keep doing those things. Keep teaching your children. God is the foundation. Another practical thing is sing godly songs together as a family. I know sometimes, you know, we have lots of things going and we have lots of activities happening, and the thing that has worked best for us has been to purposefully plan for certain times of singing as a family. If we don't do that, it seems like it can so easily just fall by the wayside. And I think it applies a little bit what it says in the New Testament. He says singing psalms, speaking to each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms. I think that applies in the home. We can teach those things. We can minister. We can encourage. We can inspire. We can, even in the home. And I know in a very, not everybody has to do it the way we do it, but as a family, we found it to be a blessing to have a morning where we just, for morning devotions, we just sing. That's all we do for morning devotions. And maybe that's strange or whatever, but then another morning where we just read and talk about things in the Bible, you know, the scriptures. On the mornings that we sing, we also talk sometimes about other things, but But some of those things, just the need for us to sing, if we can sing, I would just encourage us to sing. Sing in your home. Maybe you find it easier to do it after a meal. Maybe you find it, but sometime when you're together, singing together I think is a good thing. It brings that, it helps us, singing good, godly, solid songs helps to bring that foundation for us to build on. And another thing on concerning the foundation is pray together. Spend time to pray. Spend time praying together. That's a blessing to pray together. Also, us as fathers, I would just encourage us to take time to pray alone as well. If you try to make it a point, I remember a number of years ago, I was down in Haiti and Brother Harold Herr was down there and, just the responsibilities as a young father. And I remember those days as a young father, having a lot of things going on with my children and just barely feeling like I can stretch around. And I'm not sure that anything's changed since in that way, that I feel like I still can't hardly reach around. But he said, I had mentioned to him that I just feel like about the only thing, I don't really have a very good opportunity to have just private, quiet, time by myself. It's my family's just all around me. I can't hardly, whatever. And he's like, but you need it. You really need it. Anyway, that challenged me. And I haven't, it's not been easy as a father, especially when my children were younger. But I have found it a blessing to purposely, even if it's not a long time, purposefully take a little bit of time just alone with God. That's just kind of a little side note for us as fathers. We do need to connect with God. And I know I do experience a blessing of connecting with God. I feel like also with the family, while I lead in prayer numerous times and so forth, and we take turns to, praying too, some. The importance of, we need to be connected as fathers on that foundation. On God. We need to be connected. I just want to encourage us. But then we can pray together. We can pray together and be an encouragement to each other in that way, to lay our foundation on God. Point number two, a thing for, or a point that I have in light of God's plan for a godly home is God's plan, one of those things that I believe is very important is a godly husband and wife. And so the first piece of structure, or the first piece of structure, first piece that I was thinking of in light of God's plan, was wanting to highlight the foundation. That's the foundation for the plan. The next thing we would like to look at is structure and. A godly husband and wife. And that is the structure. And excuse me if that's maybe kind of a strange picture, but that's kind of a little bit of what I would like to draw our attention to. So if we look at, if we see the structure, or I'm sorry, the foundation being God, some of the structure that that foundation is built on is the husband and wife. And I think that's a very important element in the home. And hopefully, as I share more, that'll make some more sense. God's plan is for that there be one man and one woman in that structure. It's not that there's disloyalty, like the man is wandering off to other women and this whole mix that we have in the world. That's not God's plan for a godly home structure. a godly husband and wife. In Genesis chapter 2, I might actually just read that for the sake of time here. I do have some other scriptures I'd like to read as well, that I'll have you turn to then. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which God, the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she is taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And that's where the first home was established. That structure began when God did that. God made man and woman. And very, very clearly throughout the scripture, we see that's his plan for the home. Very, very clearly. Jesus took us back to that very same scene in the New Testament when there was a struggle about divorce and remarriage, or divorce actually, even just for that. When the Pharisees, I believe it was, or the Sadducees, I forget which one, was questioning Jesus about those things, Jesus took them back and said, in the beginning it wasn't so, but it was for the hardness of your heart, God. Moses left the children of Israel, give a writing of divorcement, but that wasn't God's plan. And I think God is calling us to his original plan. Again, you know, one man, one woman. That's what God intends. that scripture, by the way, where Jesus talks about that is in Mark 10, 6 to 9. I'm not going to read that, but that, actually, yeah, it says that's the one that talks about the beginning of the creation and how that was not God's plan. So one man, one woman, God's plan for husband and wife, a godly home, is that there be one man and one woman. Also, that it's another important reason for that is it's a picture of Christ and the church. That's another very important piece of why this structure is, the way God has set up the home is it's a picture of Christ and the church. And I think we should just turn to that in, Ephesians chapter 5. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. It's nothing new. I don't think that I'm I don't think it's anything new to you in any way. Some of this line upon line, precept upon precept that we need to just be reminded of again, this morning. But the beautiful thing, God has something beautiful in mind when he thinks of the home. And he's got this thing in mind. And are we connecting with the owner and understanding what he wants in our home? And I think it's important for you children, for your youth, to also catch a glimpse of that picture so you can help build that home. You can help your parents build that home, and then in the future, God can help you build that home as well, if God so leads in a home as husband, wife, and children. I know that's not the plan for everyone necessarily that God has that, but for many that is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, it talks about, I'm just going to read this passage and I'm going to make a couple points out of it, I guess. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man hath ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And maybe verse 33 yet. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So this is a little glimpse of some of God's plan in relation to the structure that God has in the home. And one thing that I mentioned earlier, it's a picture of Christ in the church. That's what Paul was saying. He's bringing it to our attention. And I think the reason the home is so important for us to take note of, I think especially us as fathers, but wives, you play a very, very important role in this. and children do as well. But that relationship between husbands and wives, how is that? How are you relating to each other? That is painting a picture, I think, first of all, to your family, of Christ and the church. And how is it in the home? Your children know best how it is in the home. And I think it's very, very important. If that testimony isn't clear, how can we win our children for the Lord? How can we expect them to seek after God if the relationship is not good, not the way it ought to be? I think it's very important. And if we find ourselves struggling in these things, remember, our foundation is in God. If we find ourselves struggling, our help is also in God. Our help is there to find our way. And I do also believe that God gives us other people in our life that can help us if there's struggles. That doesn't mean that there's never a time when there's a need for some extra, maybe you need to communicate a little bit more. Maybe you need to say, I'm sorry. But that relationship is very, very important in the home. I think it's foundational in a home functioning the way God wants it to function. If that is out of order, if that relationship between husband and wife is not the way it ought to be, it won't work. It just won't work. Or the home structure won't work, that's for sure. That's not saying that all of your children will be lost, but it really increases that potential tremendously, because that has a great impact on your home. And when husband and wife relationships are not the way they ought to be. And we'll get a little bit more into that. The husband also needs to provide for his family. We see that in these scriptures here about Christ providing for the church and his love for the church and his desire to nourish and cherish the church. And the husband also needs to make sure he's providing, especially for his wife, but I believe it also spills out into his children as well, because there's other scriptures that point to that as well. There's one that says that if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel. We need to. Fathers, it's our responsibility. A wife that submits to her husband, that's part of that structure, that beautiful structure. A wife that finds herself in submission to her husband. And I think that's something that's lacking in our day, something that's being lost in our day, is the beautiful thing of a wife submitting to her husband. I I think that's actually a need among the Anabaptist circle. There's a lot of women that have learned how to manipulate their husbands by ways that they come across. And some of that is because of a lack in leadership, a lack of stepping forth as a man ought to, as a husband ought to. It can be because of failure on the husband's part. I think that's where we as husbands, we need to take, that in consideration. Maybe we are pushing our wives, we're causing our wives to respond the way they are, because we're not stepping forward. We're not leading out in child training. We're not leading out in when it's time for a child to have some discipline. You know, we let our wives just go take care of that. I think we as fathers, we need to step forward in those things. But then sometimes that can cause a struggle. If it can cause a struggle between husband and wife relationships because the father is not stepping forward, and then the wife feels like somebody needs to do something, and so they step forward and they do something. And I'm not saying that it's not okay for the wife to step forward when the husband can't be there. You know, he's at work and he's whatever. But I think you need to be together on your child training, all those things. But the point is, the wife shouldn't be taking the initiative to plow forward, the initiative to lead out. It should be with the direction of the husband. Even though, and it may be the husband's direction to take care of things when they're at home. That's part of the thing also about the wife being keeper at home. That's an important thing. But that whole thing of, I just would plead with you sisters just to be careful, to not say things in a way to manipulate your husbands. But find that blessing, the true blessing of submitting, being there to support, being there to be that helpmeet for your husband. It's a beautiful thing. You think you're weak, or the world thinks you're weak, you're in bondage, you're whatever all. That's not true. You have strength in doing so. You are showing the world actually more strength in finding your place in submitting to your husband. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And it's God's will. It's part of God's structure, God's plan for us. But fathers, husbands, let's lead out. Let's not make it difficult for our wives. Also, just in Titus 2:5, it talks about wives being keepers at home, and the older ones teaching the younger ones to be keepers at home. That's God's will for the wife, to be a keeper at home, not to be a working mother, having a career, and so forth. That's not God's plan for the home. There could be a lot more said on some of these points. Point number three in God's plan for a home is obedient and God-fearing children. Obedient and God-fearing children. And this I would like to think of the furnishings. And children, I hope you don't feel like kind of weird, whatever all, to be the furniture in the house. But I'll take you to some verses to think about on that subject. Actually, turn to Psalm 128. that's where I get some of this idea about it being a furniture, furnishings of God's house, or a home. King David likens it a little bit. maybe not to furniture, but he talks of children being like olive plants, and you have these little flower pots, you know, in your home. You have these. I think of that anyway as flower pots full of they have vines coming out here, and another one over here, and the vines coming out there. And Psalm 128 says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, and that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants around thy table." And I think of it as decoration. It's a beautiful thing. It's what he's saying. And anyway, behold, behold that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Isn't that a blessing to look forward to have your children and your children's children walking in the fear of the Lord? That's what I see. That's what I see here. Your children and your children's children. Thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. That's God's plan. That's God's plan for the home. And that's what I trust we all can catch a picture of this morning. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. And I don't think of just simply that we should be thinking of, so here's Seth, and we put him over there, and we just kind of make him, you know, be a decorative thing in my home, and I put Susanna over here and place her there kind of as an olive plant in that way. He's talking about a beautiful place. And really, I think that beauty comes out if the children are in cooperation with parents, and there's a good relationship between dad and the children, and a good relationship between mom and the children, and if it's not so, that we as parents, we're like, we don't want to go on with life if it's not so. We want to have peace. We want to have it to be a beautiful thing. We want it to be there. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. And I believe what he's saying here is we can experience that. It's for everyone. It's not for those that have a bachelor's degree in training, child training. It's not for those that have a bachelor's degree in knowing how to teach your children just right in morning devotions. No. It's within reach for all of us. And I'd just like to encourage us with that. It's within reach for all of us. That children may be plants around that table. Beautiful, like olive plants around your table. And olive plants were precious. They were coveted after things. In the time of Israel there, they were a valuable thing, and your children are valuable. They shouldn't just be valuable in the sense of, I remember my dad one time sharing, and I really believe it's true. He said, we as parents, and this is where we could go wrong on, if we as parents can just be teaching our children just so they appear good in church or just so they appear good to society. And we can think, wow, we've done our job, you know, so that it makes us look good. We need to go much further than that. We need to go much further than that. It's for God. It's for God that we need to teach and train our children. Is for God's honor, and it's not about my reputation that when my child is unruly or not doing what they ought to do, that it should bring sorrow to our heart. It should be, then it should cause us to be sorrowful because we recognize that we also are bringing shame to God. If we, and not just simply because of what reputation it makes, brings to us. Children, you're a valuable ornament in the home. You're valuable in the home. You are. Some of those things that help to bring that to light, perhaps, is in Colossians 3:20. It talks about children obey your parents in the Lord, children obey your parents in all things, for it is well pleasing unto the Lord. It brings God joy when your children, when the children obey their parents. Also, we have the story of the Rechabites. I'm not going to read that, I don't believe. Jeremiah 35:1-14 talks about the Rechabites and how they honored their dad and their parents there. It's a beautiful thing. Children are very valuable. And children, you let that value, you let that beauty shine. It's a little bit like gold. It's a little bit like gold. If maybe I have a gold piece here, and if I take it out in the gravel and I just kind of stump on it and smash it around, especially when it's muddy or whatever, the value doesn't shine. The value isn't displayed. Gold would still be valuable, but it's not displayed. And the same thing is true. You are still valuable, even if you disobey your parents. You're still valuable, but it's not portraying the value. It's not exposing the value when you don't do those things. Another way that value is displayed is by orderliness, children. These are some things for us as parents. I know we're still working on it, right, brothers? We're still working on those things. Orderliness in our home, you know, having our children not just being unruly, not just running all over the place and so forth. Those are important values for us to teach our children. And children, especially as you get older, if you understand what I'm saying, in orderliness. In other words, not just when you come home from the store that you just go peeling off to your bed and you jump on top of the bed and go back out to the living room and plop on the sofa and just wild. That's not orderliness, right? You younger ones, you understand that, right? Does that make sense? That's not orderliness. God desires for orderliness to be there, for us to be orderly. And but if you understand that, you understand that that's what your mom and dad are trying to teach you, you catch a hold of that and you endeavor to be orderly because, not just because mom and dad said so. Yes, because mom and dad said, but not just because of that. You want to do that because you want to honor God. Want to be orderly and be respectful and honorable, and it goes right along with the obedience thing versus children. In closing, I'd like to just read a poem, or a, I'm sorry, a poem. Yeah, it is a poem, but it's actually a song as well. We've sung it some as a family already. A Picture of Christ. I don't know if you're familiar with that one. Song, but it says, "Oh, your life is a canvas on which to portray a picture of Christ and His Word. He provides the instructions and colors to use to paint Christ, the light to the world. You are painting a picture of Christ with your life. Does your picture His beauty portray? Can the world in its darkness see Jesus shine through in the picture you paint every day? Do the colors shine true in the light of His Word? Are you painting with thought and with prayer? A picture of beauty and light to behold, its beauty to shine everywhere. Do the colors at times not appear to be true? Is His figure distorted somewhere? Do the colors seem dull and the beauty all gone? With the world, a false picture you share. And just again, the chorus, you are painting a picture of Christ with your life. Does your picture his beauty portray? Can the world in its darkness see Jesus shine through in the picture you paint every day? And I believe some of that picture is portrayed in the home. This is just a little encouragement I'd just like to share with us as families, us as in the home. Just take those things. Trust that God can encourage you to. Let's remember, God is the foundation. The husband, the wife, brings a beautiful structure for the home, and the children are valuable. They're valuable furniture, furnishings in the home. May the Lord bless you, and trust that we can be encouraged to press on with that vision. I know sometimes it's just not always easy, but may God give us grace. That is his plan, and it's the right thing to do. I just want to lift that up as an encouragement to you all. God bless you.